Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The most important thing in our life are our relationships. I know it's June, but I think of that story, The Christmas Carol. Would you rather be Ebenezer Scrooge, fantastically wealthy, but loved by none, or be Tiny Tim, poor and crippled, but rich in the love of his family? God loves relationships, community, fellowship. In the beginning, before anything was made, there is a relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In our Acts reading, Peter quotes Psalm 110, which says, "The Lord said to my Lord," communication, relationship. This community within the Godhead is seen throughout the Scriptures, starting at creation. Genesis 1:26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness.'" The Hebrew is crystal clear. "Then God said," singular, one God, "let us make man in our image," plural. You know how beautiful it is when you and your friends or your coworkers or your church softball team unite for a common purpose? Well, in the beginning, God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit worked in unity to co-author the cosmos. The Bible's teaching about the Trinity is of first importance for the Christian faith. This is why we confessed that incredibly long creed a few moments ago. The Athanasian Creed is named after Saint Athanasius. Athanasius is most remembered for defending the doctrine of the Trinity against a man named Arius. Arius and his followers taught, among other things, that Jesus was a created being. But Scripture teaches that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If Jesus is not God, then his death is not enough to pay for the sins of the world. Let's say you go down to the bank and you take out a loan, and you buy a Lamborghini. But after not too long, you realize, "I can't afford this Lamborghini." Can you sell the door of the Lamborghini to pay for the Lamborghini? Can you sell the engine of the Lamborghini to pay for the Lamborghini? You get the point. A part cannot pay for the whole. The price isn't big enough. Likewise, one created being cannot pay for the sins of all creation. Only Jesus Christ, the Creator, can pay, lay his life down for the creation. Our theme this morning is, "For God so loved the world that he made his Son an outcast so that we might be brought into community with the Trinity." Earlier I was talking about how the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were in fellowship with one another before creation. For a time, humanity was in perfect fellowship with God as well. God walked with man in the garden, but sin destroyed this relationship, just as it destroys all good and God-pleasing relationships. How many families have you seen that have been torn apart by alcohol addiction or some other drug addiction? And being from Oklahoma, where there is a casino 30 minutes away in any direction, I'm sure you can tell me many stories, heartbreaking stories of inheritances squandered and college funds lost and relationships destroyed by this flavor of sin. But you don't need to be a gambling addict to see sin's effect. Young man, young woman, God commands that you honor your father and your mother. Your disobedience destroys your relationship with your parents. Husband, wife, God commands that you serve and love one another. Your selfishness, your argumentative attitude, your unwillingness to quickly and generously forgive the sins of your spouse all destroy your relationship with your other half. Our sin has caused even greater damage in our relationship with God. Peter quotes Psalm 21 in our second reading today. He says, "You will make me full of gladness with your presence." Can we say the same? Jesus said, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Today's service is in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we have the promise that our Lord is present with us at this moment. Then what does it say when we skip church? Would you ever miss a Sunday if this hour was the only time during your week where you could be with your spouse? Our sinful flesh has convinced us that it is better to have those extra hours of sleep or do something more exciting than to be with our God. Sin destroys relationships. And when you do hear the word of God, do you boldly confess it like Peter did? "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Peter confesses Christ while having no assurance that they won't crucify him as well. Or are we like Nicodemus? He went to Jesus at night, not wanting to be seen with this controversial figure. When things don't make sense, are we like Nicodemus who asked Jesus Christ, the one who brought everything into being, "How can these things be?" The child should trust their parents. Some things simply cannot be comprehended by their mind. Do we trust God as our Father? Or do we distrust Him and make Him a stranger? Sin destroys relationships. There remains one relationship destroyed by sin yet to be discussed. The relationship of God the Father and God the Son. You remember the famous words from Christ on the cross. "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." My God, why have you forsaken me?" To forsake means to abandon, to disown, to reject. God the Father forsakes Jesus because Jesus has taken on the sin of the world. And the rejection you deserve, He takes upon Himself. The wrath that you deserve, He takes upon Himself. This tears apart the Trinity. This tears apart the Father and the Son. This is what Jesus is talking about when He says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life." There's a story in the book of Numbers where the Israelites sin against God. And God sends snakes into their camp to punish them for their sins. Venomous snakes. But God has mercy and tells Moses to make a bronze snake and put it on a pole. And whoever looks at the bronze snake will be saved. In Judaism, this story has made heads scratch for thousands of years. Why would you look at a symbol of sin? That's what a serpent is. It's a symbol of sin. Why would you look to a symbol of sin to be saved? For Christianity, however, this makes perfect sense. At the cross, Jesus was lifted up and He bore within Himself your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. He became the very image of sin, the very embodiment of sin. God the Father forsakes Him so that you can look to Him and have eternal life. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." That is the gospel. Christ was scorned and chastised as He was marched out of Jerusalem and to be executed as a criminal outside the holy city, so that you could be paraded through the streets of the New Jerusalem as a child of the King, and enter the royal palace to be with your Father and His Son and the Holy Spirit. Forever and ever, amen. That is the image we see in Revelation. "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God.'" He will dwell with us. There will be community and fellowship and relationship. That is why Jesus dies. Because without His death, we cannot come into the presence of the Holy Trinity. We see this in our Old Testament text. When Isaiah sees God, he says, "Woe is me, for I am lost, For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Isaiah thinks he is going to die because sinners are unclean. They can't come into the presence of a holy God. We understand this concept more than we realize. If a 3-year-old goes out rolling around in the mud, they can't come in the house. If they were found muddied and in the house by their father, I would imagine they would have a very similar reaction to Isaiah, as Isaiah does. Woe is me! I'm unclean. The solution for the 3-year-old and Isaiah, and indeed us, is the same. We need to be washed if we are going to come into our Father's house. God sends to Isaiah an angel with a burning coal. The coal touches his mouth, and he hears these wonderful words. Behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. For our washing, God sent a pastor with the water and the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. At that very moment, the forgiveness of sins, which Jesus won for the world on the cross, is indisputably attached to your individual forehead. At that very moment, you became a born-again child of God by water and the Spirit. But let us not be content to remain as infants in the faith. Birth is the beginning, not an end. Like any parent, God desires that you grow and mature. Holy Scripture is the spiritual steak and potatoes by which you will grow in the faith. Join us for Bible class at 9:15 every Sunday. Find a way to read Scripture daily. They have apps for your smartphone. Or if you are more low-tech, virtually every Bible has a year-long Bible plan in the front. Go and find that and follow it. Get in the Word. When you have questions, get answers. Ask your pastor. Another way children grow is by imitating their parents. Let us see the beauty of God's forgiveness and forgive those who trespass against us. We will harm one another in this life. That is what sinners do. But forgiveness restores relationships. May we be quick to forgive. And like any parent, God desires to be with his children. Despite its humble appearance, this place here today is heaven on earth. We read in the Old Testament lesson that angels sing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. 3 holies for the 3 persons of the Trinity. Are these words familiar? They should be. We sing them during the communion liturgy in a song called the Sanctus. Isn't it beautiful that at that moment you and the angels of heaven sing in unison before the throne of God? And here at the divine service, we also converse with our Father. God speaks to us through Scripture, and we reply to him through song and prayer. And here God does not touch your mouth with a burning coal, but he gives you something even more holy, the very body and blood of his Son, for the forgiveness of your sins. You see these things because you are born again. In the waters of baptism, you have faith. Many do not. And who does God send to tell the news that God in sinners can be reconciled? Who does he send? You. After Isaiah is forgiven his sins, immediately God says, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah replies, Here am I. Send me. You have had your sins forgiven. And may we be as bold as Isaiah when presented with an opportunity to tell of our God. In conclusion, how great is his love that he lays down his life for you. How inexhaustible is his mercy that he forgives your sins this week and next week and the next and the week thereafter. God is worthy of praise. Therefore, I leave you with the words of the Common Doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen.